the continuation of the passion of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the Holy Evangelist St. Luke. While Jesus was still speaking, there came a crowd. And the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, we noted last week, people loved by God, that we don't get very far just studying the example of the behavior of the disciples during the events of our Lord's Passion. Judas' sad betrayal, leading the mob to Jesus and identifying him with a kiss. And the disciple with the unsheathed sword whacking away at the ear of the servant of the high priest. John is the one who lets us in on the fact that it was actually Peter who was wielding the sword, and the servant's name was Malchus. Peter's denial that he knew Jesus, or that he was one of his disciples, or that he even had the first clue what the others were talking about. Selling out the Lord, hurting others in our zeal to defend the Lord, and then wimping out when we could open our mouths and confess. I dare say we know something of all of these and the shame that attends them. But what is truly captivating is Jesus' reaction to betrayal, to violence, and to denial. To Judas, one last word of grace. Judas, will you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? How often had Jesus embraced him, welcomed him, loved him, kissed him? And even at the supper, with his own hands, he had fed him his holy body and blood and told him it was for him and it was for the forgiveness of sins, his sin too. And yet he turns away from it in heart and he fears that it's lost forever. Yet even as he went to embrace the Lord and kiss him to hand him over to the mob, Jesus is still reaching out to him. And when Peter's sword swings and severs the ear of the high priest, Jesus intervenes. No more of this. He not only stops the violence that would seek to defend him, to prevent him from drinking the cup that his father had given him to drink, he even does good to one who came out to arrest him. He heals the servant's ear. Does his love know no bounds? He continues doing good to those who came out to do him nothing but evil. And even his challenge to the officers and elders, if you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs, what was he doing but inviting them to consider the madness that they were engaged in that hour, in that power of darkness? And after they've seized him and taken him to the high priest's house, Peter sneaking in, being caught, being afraid, lying, denying 3 times before the rooster crows, just as Jesus told him he would. Then it happens. And only Luke records it. Jesus turns and looks at Peter. I fear that in our sinfulness, we write on our Lord's face the wrong look. This was no, "See, I told you so." Jesus never had to play that game. He never got a high out of him being right and showing everybody else to be wrong the way that we do. No, people loved by God, this was a look of love. This look conveyed to Peter, "Man, you may deny that you know me, but I love you. I still love you. And I'm doing this for you. And remember, I promised you that I would pray for you, that your faith would not fail. And remember, I promised you, you will turn again and strengthen your brothers." That tender look of love smashes the heart of the rock man to bits, leaves him running away, crying his heart out for his own shame in the face of such enduring love. Such is the gaze, people loved by God, that your Jesus would turn on you too this day. He knows full well, better than you ever will, the countless denials and betrayals and all the harm that you've wrought on others seeking to defend him. He knows it all. And for it all, he goes to the tree in love for his father and in love for you. He gazes at you in your nakedness, in your shame, in the mess that you have made of your life, in all the harm that you've done to others. And when you lift your eyes to look into His, what meets you is not reproach. It is not, "I told you that you were a bunch of sinners and that you didn't even know half of your own evil." No. What meets you is, "Oh, child, how much I love you. I am never going to let anything in heaven or on earth separate you from my love. You are mine." During Lent, and always, when we remember our shame, it is good for Jesus to gaze upon us, that we might weep our bitter tears with Peter and all penitents. Repentance that is of such a depth, it's wholly the gift of His love, of knowing that we've betrayed and denied the One who loves us so deeply and loves us still. May God grant such tears to us all, but above all, may God grant us all to see the face of Christ, His eyes gazing upon us, not in anger, not in disgust, not in rejection, not in revulsion, not in hatred, but gazing on us from an abyss of love so fathomless that it swallows up all sin, all shame. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.